Promises of God. Standing on. all the promises of Christ I keep. Through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest heaven shall exceed. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing on the promises of God.
Let's do the second verse.
Standing on the promises that cannot fail. Winds and howling storms of heaven fear or sail. By the living word of God shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God.
Y'all doing a great job this morning.
Standing on the promises of God.
Promises that you have made to those who have trusted your Son Jesus. Trusted the promises of man of this world. Promises that are changing God. Always the same. Thankful for the promises that you have this morning. So thankful for our salvation. Thankful, Father, that one time in our life, you sought us out, called us unto yourself. Thankful, Father, for the love that's been bestowed in our hearts, the Holy Spirit. Thankful, Father, this morning to be able to come together in fellowship and worship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Thankful, Father, this morning we can open your holy word and read its truth, this never changing truth. We can trust in that truth, in that word. We're trusting, Father, that very soon we'll be in your presence. Maybe today, thankful for that blessed hope that we have in our heart. Lord, we pray this morning, this morning. I pray, Father, we need to have prepared our hearts this morning. Offer our praise and our adoration for our Savior. Bountiful blessings bestowed upon us. Only what we do and say and sing and pray and preach, everything that's done this morning be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We glorify you. You're precious to our hearts this morning. Let me demonstrate it in all worship. Let's go to Steve as he stands and opens your word. Holy Spirit, would you take that word and penetrate our hearts? We'll work in each and every heart here this morning. Oh God, if there's one here this morning that's lost, on their way to heaven, Lord, I pray today, I beg today to be the day of their salvation. What a glorious day to be. We want to offer our worship and praise to you this morning. Let me give it to you. In Jesus' name, we ask you. I am told I have blessed suffering loss.
but not hopeless. I am David, crying mercy, Lord, only. I am Elijah in the cave, draining the light of day, and I am Daniel, humbly bowed faithfully. I am Paul in a prison, lifting praise to heaven. I am John, cast down by
thank you. Service today, and we want to say thank you for coming and being a part of our service. You blessed us, your attendance, and it's not by accident, but by divine appointment that you're here. Sometimes it's so that you can get a blessing or something that you hear or something that is said, but oftentimes you're a blessing to others by your attendance. And I'm thankful for you being here today. And you pray for this morning, we're going to try to save you. Moments, my voice is about to go, and I'm praying that the Lord will hold on to us a little bit longer. I do want to remind you that today at 3 o'clock we'll be having a graduation party for Connor here at 3 o'clock, and we got a taco bar right there. I like tacos. Chicken, I don't care. But we invite all of you to come and be a part of that and be in the fellowship hall. Proud of Connor and his accomplishments. He's been under the weather all week long, too. I ask that you pray for him. He's been a little injured. So y'all pray for him. Feel a lot better. We'll be in, I'm going to continue on this sermon that I started last Sunday, Matthew chapter 14, if you want to go ahead and find your place there this morning.
David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah.
Words in the music to tell.
Amen. Thank you. You would stand with your Bibles open, and I would read to read God's holy word in Matthew chapter number 14. We'll begin reading in verse 14. It says, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, They need not depart. Give ye them to eat. They say unto him, We have here but 5 loaves. Notice this next verse. And he said, Bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and prayed and gave the loaves to his disciples, and his disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord. God, now we desire to hear from you, Lord. I pray, Father, that I would decrease, God, and you would increase. Father, I pray that you put your words in my mouth and your thoughts in my mind, your spirit in my heart, God. Lord, for just a few moments, let us hear from heaven. I pray, God, that you use this time, Lord, to touch and to meet every need in this place today. That when we leave this service today, we'd not be saying, oh, what a service. But oh, what a Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to go back and just highlight a few things. I preached this last Sunday, and as I want to do, sometimes I chase rabbits. And so the time got a little away from us. But this passage of Scripture is very precious to me. This is the only miracle in the Bible that is recorded in all four Gospels. It is the only miracle that Jesus performed that is recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each from their own perspective. We often find ourselves looking at the situations and viewing it the way the disciples did. Jesus had been healing, he had been teaching, he had been preaching, and he had gone off into the wilderness, and the Bible says that the multitude followed along behind him. They were seeking after God, and I love this thing, this thought in that passage of Scripture. He never turns away anybody that seeks after him. For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. And so we see a picture of that here as the multitude comes along, and they get a little far away from home, and they begin to be hungry. They're wanting to be fed. And the disciples are getting a little antsy and looking at the treasury, and they're looking at the lunch sack, and they're saying, we just don't have enough for these people. And they turn to the Lord and they said, God, send these people, Jesus, send these people away. This is a desert place. And oftentimes we look at our circumstances and our situations and we view it in the same vein. We think that we are living in a dry and desperate desert. Oftentimes when we come into church and we don't feel what we think we ought to feel, we think that it's just a dry and a desert land. But I'm thankful that Jesus is on the scene. And we're not in a desert. We're not in a dry, but it's just the way we view our circumstances. The disciples looked at it and said, Lord, this is a desert place. Well, what did Jesus say to them? He said, they don't need to depart. Give ye them to eat. And so he looks at the situation. The disciples look at it, and firstly they say, the place is too lifeless. Lord, this place is too lifeless. There's not even a rabbit to hunt. There's nothing here for them. We're in a desert. Send them away. But then Jesus said, make them to sit down on the grass. You see, the disciples said this is a desert. They see the beach. They see the dry sand. They see the cactus. Jesus sees grass, and he commands them to sit down on the grass. I told you in Mark's account, he said to make them to sit down upon the green grass.
Yeah.
And we know that in Psalm 23, it tells us that the Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. He maketh us to lie down where? In green pastures. And when Jesus is on the scene, there's no place too lifeless. For he is the life. I told you in John chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 10:10 says, I am come into this world that you may have life, and that you may have it more abundantly. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, in John chapter 14 and verse 6. John 11:25 says, I am the resurrection and the life. See, wherever Jesus is, he is life. And if you're in a dry and a desert place in your own life, what you need to do is invite Jesus to come in. Just meet Jesus where he is. Invite Jesus into your problem, and it will take care of itself. There is no place too dead for Jesus to work and to do something today. It doesn't matter how lifeless the place may seem. If Jesus is there, there's life. They said the place is too lifeless. Secondly, they said the time is now past. Looking through their eyes, in verse 15, it says the time was too late. It says that when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place and the time is now past. But I want to tell you that today with Jesus, it is never too late for your circumstances. It is never too late for the Lord to come into you. There's never a time that is too lifeless, and there's never a time that is too late. Do you know that Jesus busted up more than one funeral in his day by coming on the scene and raising them from the dead? You remember he raised Lazarus from the dead. You remember that he raised the centurion's daughter. You remember he stopped and he touched the funeral procession that was coming through. You see, everywhere Jesus went, he busted up funerals because there's never a place too lifeless. There's never a time that's too late. And in your own life, you may look at your situation, you may say, you don't know what I've done. And you're right, you don't know what I've done either. You don't know the circumstances in which each one of us live under. But I want to encourage you today and help you to understand that it is never too late for the Lord to do something in your life and to change you into what he wants you to be. God will work a miracle if we'll let him do that. But they said the time is now past. The place is too lifeless. Thirdly, we didn't get to this last week, they said the provisions were too little. We just don't have enough to go around. Do you know that the Baptists are known for two things? Food and committees. Am I telling the truth? But, I mean, we put together committees to figure out, can we do this? Can we do that? Why should we do this? Why should we do that? I mean, we're just known for that, and I'm not knocking those things. We do need to have organization in our churches. The Bible says let everything be done with decency and in order. But we need to understand that we are not looking through things always through our human eyes, but what God can do to bring honor and glory to his name. God likes to work in impossible situations. God likes to work in things where we can't explain it. People ask me sometimes, I don't understand this, and I don't understand that. And they ask me, and I'm like, I don't understand either. Because God's ways are higher than my ways. I can't understand them. I just have to believe them. I don't have to understand them. I'm not the one performing it. I just have to believe that he's able. And he said that he would do it. But they said the provisions are too little. Look at verse 16. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but. They didn't say we have here five loaves and two fishes. They threw that little word but in there. What they're saying is, it's just not enough. That's what that word connotates there. It means it's just not enough. We have here but five loaves and two fishes. They said that we're in a place that's too lifeless. It's too late in the day. We can't go into town and buy anything. The Kroger's closed already. The Publix deli, they're already mopping and cleaning up in there. We can't go get enough for these people. And all we have are five loaves and two fishes. And that was how they viewed their situation. They didn't realize they had the one that spoke this world into existence. They didn't realize they had the one that flung the stars into place. They put the moon up. Do you realize that the earth is on a perfect tilt? And if it were to move 1 or 2 degrees in either direction, you know what would happen? We would burn up or we would freeze to death. God did that for us. I can't explain that, and I don't have to. I just know that he's enough for whatever we need. And when I get into my situations, and you know I'm just like you, sometimes I'm praying, and I'm thinking, I'm praying in unfaithfulness. I'm sitting there telling God why he can't do it. You ever been there? God, I know I'm a no good, sorry person, and Lord, I know I don't deserve these things, and Lord, I know, why am I even sitting here praying? I believe you can do it, but why don't you do it for me? You ever been there praying like that? I do that all the time. I'm sitting there telling God why I'm unworthy, but the Bible says it's not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And when we come to the Lord, we should just come to him and claim the blood. And I do that sometimes. I get down when I'm right, and I get down and I pray, and I say, God, I don't deserve to be in your presence today. But because you sent your son, and because I accepted him as my sacrifice, I can go boldly before you today, Lord, and I can petition you for my needs. And that's the way we should pray, holy boldness. The disciples had been with him every step of the way. They had seen every miracle that he had performed. They had seen him raise people from the dead. And yet they would not believe that he could feed those people. They had seen him turn water into wine and make it more than enough for what they needed, but yet they doubted. People say, why do we need to go to church every Sunday? You know why? Because these disciples right here were with the man himself. They were with Jesus Christ, and they still doubted. How much more would we doubt if we don't come and be encouraged every single week? It's important to be in God's house. It's important to hear the word preached. It's important to sing praises to God. Not just because it commands us to, but for what it does for us as believers. It's important to be in God's house. I don't know about you, but it bothers me when I can't come to church. It hurts me when I can't be in God's house. It just doesn't feel right to me to miss being in God's church with God's people on the Lord's day. I need this every single week. The key to this whole miracle. People oftentimes oftentimes talk about the young lad and how faithful he was that he brought his blood. They'll make the miracle about the young lad. The only difference between him and the other people was he had a good mom. If you're going to go out, here's your lunch. Had a mom that looked out for him. But the key to this whole entire miracle is found in verse 18. Read it with me. And he said, bring them hither to me. Bring them, take what little bit you have and put it in the hands of the master. I have people oftentimes and I'll say, well, I'd love to have you come sing in the choir. They say, well, I just can't sing. The Bible doesn't say let everything that can sing praise the Lord. It says let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. My wife, and I love hearing her sing, and y'all know her problem. She's been having those nodules. She's got nodules on her vocal cords. And I don't even know what those are, but they're bad. And you'll be singing along, and all of a sudden your voice just go out, and your voice just cracked. And she has struggled with that for over a year now. She's had a hard time, and her voice is starting to come back. And she appreciates every time that she gets to sing, that it'll hold together. She comes from a family that can sing, all except for Jerry. But Jerry's still in the choir. And I don't know if he can sing or not. I really don't ever heard of him. But you know what I live with? It's the praises. It helps me to see other people praise the Lord. Jesus desires. Bothers me, huh? Next time it's Father's Day, I'll put up this Father's Day message. I'll do it next time. I'm going to preach on I am not ashamed. Because this, you know what bothers me? I go to a Braves game, and I'm a big sports fan. I really am. And I'm a fan. I cheer for them. I don't care what they are. Playing for a championship, I don't cheer for them. I just think that. All the Georgia people are cheering for Georgia, especially the Bulldogs. And but I cheer for those. I go to Braves game, and people, they can do one thing good. Do you know what the batting average means for a baseball player? If you hit 300, you go Hall of Fame. You do that for your career. Do you know what that means? 3 out of 10 times you got to hit. 7 times you failed. 3 times you did something good and you go to the Hall of Fame for it. I watch people, I mean, it never fails. They'll boot the ball, a player just have a terrible game. He'll boot the ball, he'll throw one over the first baseman's hand, he'll strike out 3 times, and he comes up with a game on the line at the end of the game, hits the game with a home run. You know what? Everything else is forgotten. People will lose their mind and just cheer. Like they've never cheered before for this person. Those same people will cheer for Jesus. He's back 1,000. He's never done anything wrong. He's never done anything wrong. But we will stand and lose our minds. Watch some of you grandparents, how you act when your grandkid gets a hit. It wasn't a hit, the kid missed the ball. Jimmy, jumping up and down, screaming, cheering. I've seen your videos on Facebook. I do it too. But if we can cheer for that, why can't we cheer for the Lord? The choir get up here and sing a song about Jesus. And we ought to be just clapping our hands and praising the Lord. I forgot to perform the song before what they sang about. We ought to worship today. And we have worship every Sunday when we come to this house because Jesus has always come through for us. He said, bring them hither to me. What it means is what we transfer to him, he transforms. Bring your problems, bring your sickness to me, and he can heal your body. Bring your financial need to me, and he can take care of your creditors for you. Bring that little bit of talent that you have to me, and he can do great things with it. You see, what we transfer, he transforms. We need to put our circumstances into the hands of Jesus.
I'm going to give you a few stories right here, and I'll be done. These are just good reminders right here. In 1 Kings chapter 17, the Lord tells Elijah to get thee to Zarephath and dwell there. He said, I've commanded a widow woman to feed thee there, to sustain thee there. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake. He said, what do you have? And she said, all I have is a little bit of meal and a barrel. All I have is a little bit of meal and a little cruse of oil. And I'm out here gathering two sticks that I might dress it. Me and my kids are going to eat this and die. We have nothing else. What did the man of God say? Bring it to me. Take that little bit that you have and put it in the hands of the man of God. Take that little bit you have and put it in the hand of God. And the Bible says that that barrel will be a wasted not for many days hence. Because when God got involved in it, he multiplies what our little bit we have. She was obedient to what the Lord told her to do. There's another man of God in the Bible by the name of Elijah. He was just like Elijah. He just took up his mantle after him and went on and had a double portion of the Lord upon him. The Bible says there was a little woman that came to him and said, my husband is dead. The creditors have come. They're going to take my sons and turn them into slaves or bondmen. He looks at her and says, what do you have? And she said, all I have is a little cruse of oil. The man of God tells her, go and gather up all the vessels you can find. Go to your neighbors, get all the vessels that you can find. And get into the house and close up the door. And he blessed it, and all of a sudden she began to pour out, and the Bible says that she poured out, till all of those vessels were full. That little bit of cruse of oil, when God got involved in it, it was multiplied for his honor, for his glory. But there are times that we feel like we're just too late. We're too late for God to work. What about that crippled man in John chapter number 5? It says, now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had been there a long time in that way. And he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Then the man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled. Put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. He was always too late. Every time there was a moving of the water, before he had a chance to roll over in that water, before he could get somebody to get him into that water, he was always too late. Somebody always stepped in before him. He never got the blessing because he was always too late. But Jesus told the same thing. Jesus said, rise. Take up that bed and walk. You see, when God comes on the scene, he's never too late. He's always right on time for whatever you're facing, whatever your circumstance may be. He's always on time. And he can do great things. I know there are people who have talked about our church and they say, it's too late for Chino Hill Baptist Church. It's too late for God to meet needs down there. It's too late for things to happen down there. But I've got news for you. God is still alive. And God is still interested in what we do here. And God is interested in his people and in his children. And God can always come on the scene and take care of our circumstances, no matter how they're. I have complete faith that God is going to do it again.
Amen.
There was a woman one time, she had an issue of blood. The Bible says that she had spent all that she had. She had been never a doctor. She had been never a specialist. I mean, she listened to every home remedy there was. She had tried everything she could to get rid of worse. How many of you here today have tried everything under the sun for Jesus? You've tried to fix your problems without His direction. And you can't understand why you keep ending up in the dead end places that you do. You can't understand why your life continues to be a mess. You're not following Him. You're not trusting Him. The Bible says the woman heard of Jesus. And when she got there, I'm sure when she saw that crowd, she said, you know what, I've got all this way, I'm not going to turn around now. If I can just touch Jesus, if I can just get a hold of the Lord, I know I'm going to do something. If there's just some way that I can get to the Lord, I've got faith to believe He'll do it for me. The Bible says she crawled through the crowd. Maybe with her last bit of effort, she reached out and she touched the hem of His garment. The Bible says she was immediately made whole. And there was something different about this lady and how she pursued after, because the Lord noticed as well. He had people touching Him, bumping into Him. He was all enthroned in the crowd, and people were all over Him. But when this lady touched Him, it made a difference. You see, touching Jesus is all that matters. Touching Jesus is all that matters. We come into God's house, and we try it every which way to make things work. We try in which way in our own powers to try to fix things. How many of you are fixers? I'm to fix things. I'm not talking about machinery. I'm talking about people. You see somebody struggling and you want to help them. You want to do something to fix their problem and to fix their situation. And sometimes you might give them temporary hope. But until they touch Jesus, none of that ever matters. We talked about the COVID and closing down the churches and all the things that we did. People, I mean, it was a something we've never faced in our lifetime. Only things that we've read in the books. We were closing down our services and closing down church and doing stuff online. And had good intentions for doing that. But you know how many people die and go to hell every week? And they had no opportunity to be saved. The Bible says if we pursue after this life, this is a miserable one. We need to lay off our treasures. This life is temporary. We are going to die. Death is undefeated. Unless the Lord comes back and takes us home, we are going to die. It is appointed to man to die. These bodies are children die every day. Teenagers die every day. Middle-aged people die every day. Death is undefeated. We're going to die. If we die without Jesus. I was thinking about that rich man in Lazarus and the story that the Lord told. I believe it's a parable. I believe it was literally a story. I believe it literally happened. Because in parables, Jesus never made it. But in this story, He did. Lazarus and the beggar and the rich man. The rich man had died and gone to hell. Lazarus had gone to hell. The rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. And he didn't say, bring me my cars. He didn't say, bring me my gold. Bring me my cash. He didn't say any of those things. When he realized the situation that he was in, none of his material things mattered to him anymore. But he looked up and he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. And you know what he wanted? Go and tell my brothers not to come to this awful place. Nothing else mattered. And in our lives, we're out there pursuing things. We're out there looking for riches. We're out there looking to take care of our families and looking for long-term gains. But I want to tell you something. None of that will matter without Jesus. You say, I'm saved. That's great. But if you're not living for him, other people are not benefiting from your salvation. We must live for him in every circumstances that we face. We cannot be ashamed of him. Touching Jesus is all that matters. God can take a dead situation and bring life to it. The disciples said, we're in the desert, Lord. It's the dry, desolate desert. Jesus said, we don't have anything to feed them. Give me what you have. What we transfer, he transforms. You may be here this morning. You have a heart that you've been carrying for a long time. You've got something in your heart that's really been troubling you. You're out there living in the world, and the world can't see Jesus in you. And you know the Lord is convicting you that you need to change your ways. But we're trying to keep holding on. Walking as close to the edge of the world as we possibly can. I encourage you today. Get close to God. You want to see things change in this church? You want to see things change in your family? Get close to God. You want to see Jesus. Father, we love you. Your goodness and mercy that you freely give in these moments. Lord, as we come into your house this morning, no doubt many people are carrying a heavy load. They're struggling with things, God. Father, I pray that they would cast their cares upon you this morning. Lord, I pray that they would take their yoke and hang on you. That weight that is holding them back is dragging them down when I pray aside. Lord, if one person will come to me, if one person will come to me, and commit their life to you in a way that they never have before, it'll change this place. Lord, I honestly believe that. I truly believe. Lord, I believe there's many people that need to come and get closer to you. You said if we draw about to you, you would draw about to us. God, I pray that people would do that this morning. That the moment we stand to our feet, the moment they, before they have a chance to think about it, they would just step out of their seat and make their way to this altar before it's eternity. Lord, maybe there's some here that want to join our church or achieve their goals and be involved in the ministry. Or not just involved in the church, but involved in the ministry of the church. Lord, I pray that you would speak to those hearts, Lord, and give them clear direction, God, of what you would have them to do. Lord, if there be one here that's lost this morning, God, that's been struggling, you've been convicting them all, showing them their need of a Savior. Pray, oh God, that you would give them the encouragement they need, God, and the courage they need to step out of their seat and make their way to God. Lord, no one will come alone. If someone will come this morning, others will come with them. Help them to see, Lord, no one prays here alone. But you're here to be. God, we thank you and pray for you. We ask these things. While we stand, while we sing. Now we stand, while we sing. God, I desire God to see a time when people could not sit in their pews while Jesus is passing. The power of God is something in this place, Lord, that people would be changed for the moment they walk through the door. God, I want to see revival in these last days. With so many people spend their day watching the news, putting their hope in Washington, waiting on the government to do something for them. And I pray that people will turn to Jesus in these last days. That they give their heart and life over to you. That we'd see a remnant of the Bible of God sweep across this country and across this community. Thank you for what you've done for us here today. Thank you for being in our presence, Lord. We are in this. Lord, with all things we've done, we just want to give you praise and honor and glory. In your sweet, holy name, we ask these things. Amen.